So today I'm going to stick with one quick scripture. So if you have your Bibles, your electronic Bibles, or if you're just a Bible whiz and you have it completely memorized in your brain, and if you do, I'd like to meet you after service. So that would be great, because show me a few things. But Proverbs 24:16, and I'll give you a second to get there. Just a place to kind of start here. But while you guys are finding that, again, it's Proverbs 24:16. Man, what a beautiful group of people. This church has, you know, been through a lot of challenges over the last probably 10, 12 years, but God is really doing a great work. I mean, just look out, and he's rebuilding Nehemiah's wall, it looks like. And Pastor Evan and team have done such a fantastic job serving him and doing it in his timing. Proverbs 24:16, it says, "The godly may trip seven times, but they will get back up again. But one single disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked." Now, Pastor Evan spoke last week, started this series called Having Courage in Jesus, or Courageous Faith, or however you want to look at it. But it's all about the word courage. And when he approached me, he said, you know, he said, "I don't know of anybody else who's had go through what you've gone through." Because many of you don't know, my wife also passed away 15 months ago now. And so here I am, you know, looking at life as a single father, doing ministry, but man, what happened, you know, my son with all the challenge. So it's not like I'm absent of conflict, absent of problems, absent of challenges in life. But he said, the way that you attack life just is a little different. And I don't say that as a out of humility. I mean, not being out of humility. I don't say that as something to have a pat on the back or pride. It's just what he sees, and that's great. Because all I do is just, I try to get the most out of life. And I just want to let you guys in on the little secrets that I have and biblical characters that I've drawn strength from. And so here we go today. And things that I've drawn strength from. But anyway, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get back up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. And I love this scripture, because this scripture always goes, when I've sat down and talked to people about it and do my counseling or whatever, and I'll ask them about this scripture, and almost every time, and including my own interpretation of it, always tends to go that this is a place where people have been tripped up by sin, or tripped up by bad actions, or tripped up by, you know, they've done something dumb. Has anybody ever done something dumb in your life? The first one, I've done a lot of dumb stuff, man. Thank God I don't have social media from when I was a teenager. Nowadays, everything is on social media, and so everybody gets recorded with all their dumb stuff. But I didn't have social media, thank goodness. Anyway, so we initially go to the scripture and think, okay, this is all about the dumb stuff we do, or the sin we have, the mess-ups we have. But this is not only talking about that. If you left it at just that, you're doing a real disservice to the power of God in the scripture. Because what about the times when you've been tripped? Anybody ever been tripped before? Anybody ever been like, you know, been in like a karate match or MMA or whatever, and somebody trips you? It's not on your own volition. You didn't fall on your own power, but you're still fallen. You've still been knocked down. Anybody ever been knocked down before in life? If you've been married, I think you've been knocked down, because at least emotionally, somebody's going to knock you down at some time. You know, I have a tendency to be too confident at times. My wife was real quick to knock me down emotionally, you know, put me back down, make sure my head didn't get too big to fit through the door. But that's what it is. So being knocked down or falling down isn't just having your own problems and your own mistakes. But what about when other people knock you down? What about when other people fail you? What happens when promises aren't fulfilled in your life? What happens when somebody says they're going to do something and they don't do it? Do you get back up? How many of you have ever felt like God has done that to you? You've had an unanswered prayer and you're like, man, God didn't care about me. God didn't pay attention to me. God wasn't there when everything was falling apart. Where were you, God? It's funny. So I intentionally wore this. Some people would say, why in the world is he wearing a sweatshirt up there speaking today? And it's the only thing I had with the Nike logo on it, because I wanted to just think of the Nike slogan as people are going through today and thinking about what's being said. The Nike slogan, what is it? Just do it. And originally it had a period at the end. So as you're thinking about it, as you see my shirt, when we talk about situations that are happening in my life or in David's life, as we get into David, no excuses, just do it. And again, there was a period at the end of the just do it, which meant period, end of statement, no ifs, ands, buts, or about it. Anybody ever had an argument with, especially men, you had an argument with your girlfriend or your spouse or whatever, and you're like, yeah, I did this, but, and you do that. Does that ever work very well? Anybody who's been married very long knows that, but it was your fault, but you didn't. That doesn't work very well. So, period. Just do it. God will have a lot of things for you in your life, and he'll ask a lot out of you if you'll let him. And our responses shouldn't be like Adam in the Old Testament when he said, Adam, where have you been? He said, well, I messed up because of the lady you gave me. He should have just been, I messed up, period. Just do it. So today we want to talk about courage. I want to define courage for you, because in my own mind, I'm one of those people that loves the etymology of words. I love what words mean. I love where they come from, where the original form of them. I studied Hebrew and Greek in college. So I enjoyed going through the New Testament, the Old Testament in different languages. I know I'm a weirdo, but I enjoy that kind of stuff. And so when I think of courage, I looked it up in Webster's and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to read this to you, but I don't think it does it a service. I think it does a disservice. It says, the ability to do something that frightens one. She called on all her courage to face the ordeal. So this is kind of what most people think, the ability to do something that frightens one. That's courage. Well, there's one other definition. It says, the strength in the face of pain or grief, for he fought his illness with great courage. And I think both of those are true, but I think there's just more to it. So then I looked up what were synonyms, and bravery showed up. And so then I found this stuff about the difference between courage and bravery. It says, bravery means having the guts to do what needs to be done, even if it means taking risks or facing danger head on. That's good. I mean, that's true. Anybody ever had the guts to face things head on when you shouldn't? Anybody ever got up and done something really great? I think that explains the highlight reel of David. I mean, we know, are most people who know anything about the Bible know David and Goliath. He had bravery. But here's what courage means. Courage means having the strength of character required for such actions by acting confidently even when faced with adversity or uncertainty or both. So bravery is commonly confused with courage because the two are regarded as synonymous. But in reality, bravery versus courage are different concepts. Bravery is action and courage is endurance. Bravery can easily be attained in the heat of the moment, but taking a stand and holding on to courage throughout the test of time requires you to do some serious soul searching. So when we look at David, anybody ever heard of the story of David and Goliath? Anybody know that story? Yes, so we look at it on the outside. Now, I'm not going to read it today because it takes a long time, but you can find it in 1 Samuel 17, that whole chapter. And I encourage you, when you get in your own time, if you have a prayer time or if you have a Bible reading time, which I would encourage you to do that even as daily if you can, even if it's 5 minutes. When I was a youth pastor, one of the things that I would really encourage the students to do is I called it the 5-minute walk. And so I would encourage them to just read just 5 minutes a day, because little steps equal long distance over time. If you'll do 5 minutes a day every day, all of a sudden you've done, 1,500 minutes in a year, of reading the Bible, and all of a sudden you've gotten somewhere, even though it's a very small step. But I'd encourage you to do that. So again, it's 1 Samuel 17, go read it. We have the showdown, the highlight reel of David getting ready to fight Goliath, and anybody who knows that story knows that he pulled out a rock and sunk it in David's head, in Goliath's head, and Goliath fell down. But here's the problem with that whole story, is it's the highlight reel. And yes, it took courage, and I say this a lot. I said, David's greatest ability that day was his availability. He showed up, and that is amazing. But through that whole story, there was a ton of things that happened in general that David had go on. And I'm just going to give you a couple of highlights. Again, the highlight reel, so my paper unsticks here. So in 1 Samuel 17, David, he was sent to talk to his brothers with some food. So he listened to his dad. He was following his dad's orders, and people mocked him. He was faithfully doing his appointed job by being a shepherd. He had killed the bear and the lion. It talks about that. He had learned valuable skills at his job. This is something that I stand very firmly in when I'm talking to the congregants that I have the privilege of overseeing a lot, is this, that God has you in places for a reason. And until God tells you to leave, your job is appointed in your life. And I know some people hate their job. And God will move you out when it's time. But I dare you to stop hating your job all the time and ask what you're supposed to learn from your job. Because you may be needing to learn people skills. And God's trying to teach you that. How to get along, how to barter, how to negotiate. You may be learning simply how to serve. You may be learning that, hey, I need to have humility. Sometimes God won't allow people to get out of jobs because they've never learned how to be humble and how to serve. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. Skills like that. So David was learning valuable skills by learning how to kill the lion, kill the bear. He could have never been king without those skills. He was promised a reward. He said, what would happen if this, whoever kills this giant Goliath, and everybody starts talking? Well, the king would give him a bunch of money. Boy, that'll motivate a lot of us men. Get paid a lot of money. How many of you guys agree? If you said that, somebody's going to say, I'll give you $200,000 or $1 million, and then this, even more so. He was told he would get the prettiest daughter of Saul. Again, the hand goes up real fast. Yeah, buddy. You are married. You can't do it. No. Not now. This isn't Old Testament time. You can't have more than one. But all of a sudden, he was promised a good-looking daughter and lots of money. So here this 17-year-old kid is like, heck yeah, I'm going to go fight Goliath. There's something in it for me now. Again, that's something that's not talked about a lot of times. He showed up at the fight without the firepower everybody else thought. He went into Saul, and Saul tried to put some armor on him that didn't fit him. Anybody ever been in life and had somebody tell you that what you are is not good enough, that what you could be or what you're supposed to be, what God's told you to be, is not the way you're supposed to be? Have you ever had those kind of pieces of armor put on you? If David would have gone to battle in Saul's armor, he would have lost. Anybody ever tried to be somebody they're not called to be? I've done that many times. I've tried to emulate lots, especially in the Christian world. And this is so rampant with a lot of young pastors and stuff. They want to emulate lots and lots of other successful pastors, but they forget to emulate Christ. We're not called to be just like everybody else. We're called to be like Christ. And that's important. And David could have lost that battle that day if he tried to be somebody else. But again, he showed up because of courage. And here's the important thing, is that day, it would only take in bravery. But courage is what keeps it going on and daily, one moment after another. Again, highlight moment after highlight moment with David. If people who are Bible scholars will also remember that David became king. And then people, if you really know your Bible, then David had a failure when he was king. And then if you really, really, really know your Bible, you would know that David, when he was really young, that he had been prophesied over that he would be king. And those are the highlight reels of David. And those are the moments that people remember. But what about the moment when David had a hit out on his life? When David was supposed to be dead, or everywhere he went, he had to look out to make sure somebody didn't have an arrow pointed towards him. He had to live in absolute fear. What about that moment? Or what about the moment when he's talking in Proverbs and he said, they've all set in snares to get me. They all hate me. What about that moment when he was doing what God asked him to and nobody liked him for it? What about the moment that he was mocked, he was cursed, he was not everything he's been called to be? What about the moment that he didn't get all of those rewards? You know, I was talking about the rewards. He not only didn't get the money, he wasn't given the pretty daughter. Saul reneged and then finally come back and gave him the secondary daughter, the daughter that David really didn't want to begin with. So what happens when your dreams don't come true? What are you going to do? What does it look like? What are you going to have courage to face that? Are you going to have the integrity, the moral character, the moral understanding, the ability to serve God even when it doesn't look right and it doesn't feel right and it hurts? I had a responsibility as a dad and as a husband when my son was being wheeled back to that and they said, no, he's not going to live, to make sure that my wife was as comfortable as possible because in her head, the world was falling apart. I had a responsibility to my daughter to make sure that her world wasn't falling apart. I had a responsibility to the people around me to not see me fall apart in the middle of it and just cave. Because somebody somewhere has to stand up. Somebody somewhere has to just do it. Somebody somewhere has to get the Spirit of God in them and say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going to stand therefore. Ephesians 6 said, in that day put on the full armor of God so that you can stand when the enemy comes. It doesn't say so you can fall down and go to sleep. It doesn't say so you can be a weasel and hide under places. It doesn't say be a coward. It says stand therefore. Because there's something powerful about standing. There's something courageous about standing. And it doesn't just say stand up once. It says when you've done all the stand, stand. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. Because righteous people get back up. Righteous people step back up. Righteous people get a little bit of guts in them. And I can't help it because it's just who I am. And it's what I get some strength from. But anybody ever seen the Rocky movies in here? I'm a huge Rocky fan. It's just something I do because I just relate to that character. He was born on the wrong side of the road. He didn't have the silver spoon in his mouth. Everything he got was by sheer grit, by sheer effort, by just being having more heart than anybody else. And everything he did was not because all of it was handed to him, but there's just these moments in those movies that related to me and just in really, really spoke to my spirit. Again, it's people would say, well, that's not spiritual. Oh, yeah, it is. To me, it's spiritual because guess what? I don't look at Rocky and think, man, Rocky died for my sins. I look at those movies and think, man, when they're telling him to get back up and those bells are going off and you've got that 10 count and he's knocked out and feels like he has nothing left in his body. Feels like he has nothing left. It's like one, get back up. Just do it. Just do it. Two, just do it. Three, just do it. Four, and all of a sudden, he doesn't feel like he can, but all of a sudden, he starts to rise up. And there's this courage in his life. Courage isn't a one-time thing. Courage is a mindset that says, even though I fall, I'm going to get back up. Courage is a moral code, is a moral standard that's going to cause you to rise up when you hear that bell start to ding. Because if it hits 10, it's over. But at 9, it ain't over. How many of you are sitting at 9 in your life today? You may be sitting at 9 in a lot of areas. And I want to read these areas. And this was done by a professor. Again, this has nothing to do, the professor's not spiritual or anything, but just really gave some good definitions about where we should look for courage in our lives and where we should be able to rise up and where we should be like David and just show up even though it doesn't make any sense. A, we have physical courage. It's the ability to face danger, pain, and fear. Again, physical courage. Two, emotional courage. It's the ability to deal with your emotions in a productive and healthy way. How many of us could use that alone? That we just get all emotional. Because I've noticed when I get emotional, I attack people. When I get emotional, one of two things that happen. Either I shut down and go hide, and I'm no good to anybody when I do that. Or I attack people with saying negative words and hurt people's feelings. That's not emotional courage. That's being an emotional coward. Plus, it's just not doing what God told us to do. God says to speak those things that are encouraging to others. Three, intellectual courage. It's the ability to see beyond the status quo and ask questions that might seem absurd or dangerous without fear of what others will think of them. Number three, intellectual courage. Being able to see the future or see where you're going. It's interesting. Paul says this in the New Testament. He said, I, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, on a mission for him. He knew who he was. He knew where he was going. He had intellectual courage. Four, social courage is the ability to stand up for yourself and your beliefs even in the face of opposition from others. David said, who is that unclean Philistine who curses the name of my God? Five, moral courage, the ability to do what is morally and ethically right even when it might be unpopular or risky. Six, spiritual courage, the willingness to look at your soul and make difficult choices. I know when I was 15, six was big for me. I was actually 14 when it first happened, but I ended up getting saved right on my birthday. It was a couple weeks before my birthday when things started really starting to burn inside of me. But I had to look at myself and make some real honest statements to myself. How many of you have done that recently? How many of you are okay with looking at yourself and say, you know what, this area needs to be fixed? Or maybe look at yourself and say, I'm doing what's right, even though it hurts, and I haven't received the promise, but I'm going to keep doing it. The Bible says that don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't faint. Or there's translation that says, don't lose courage. Don't lose heart. Don't get weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you don't lose courage. Courage is one of those things. Again, this isn't about jumping and shouting today. This isn't about being so excited, but it is something about getting back up and just do it. What happens when you go to work on Monday and everybody around you is just really frustrating you? Anybody ever been there? And are we going to have the moral courage to look like Christ around them? Or are we going to be like the unrighteous and allow one small disaster to let us fall apart? Are we going to be a light in a dark world? Are we going to take the Bible that's real and actually apply it? Or are we going to put it back on the shelf and look just like someone that's not following Christ? Again, I was faced with the same thing with my son, and thank God he's the healthiest he's been. Again, things can happen real quick, but he's the healthiest he's been in 6 years. And except for him, his ability to walk, he may be the healthiest he's been in his whole life, to be honest with you right now. But the fruits that I'm seeing right now sure didn't feel like this is where we were going for the first day and 2 days and week and month and year. And every day I had a choice to make. Is God with me? Well, I don't know. Perhaps. Is God going to save my son? You know what? I had to come to the realization that he's either going to be healed on earth or he's going to be healed in heaven. But by God, we're going to believe with everything in us that he's going to see God's best. I had to have courage every single day, a moral code, a physical courage, because I could see pain in myself and danger. And again, I could have bled on people that didn't cut me because of the pain I was feeling on the inside. And it was my responsibility not to bleed on them because they didn't do it to me. I had the opportunity to get all out of control emotionally. I could have screamed at every doctor that made a mistake. I could have screamed at everybody, lost complete control, ruined my witness, ruined all my influence, and destroyed Jesus' name right there on the spot. But I had a choice to make. Intellectual courage. I had to see the future. I had to believe that when God said that cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, but by his stripes we are healed, I have a choice to believe that. I have a choice to believe that he is not that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's not a respecter of persons, and that he has a good plan for my life and my family's life. Even though it didn't feel like it, looked like it, seemed like it, I had a choice. I had to have courage. Social courage. Because people told me I was crazy to believe this. And I had the opportunity to tell them, well, you're crazy. But I didn't. I said, you know what? Against all belief, I'm going to believe. I had a chance to be out of moral courage. And I had a chance, I had to be spiritual courageous, because there was days where I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, are you going to believe? Because nothing in me wanted to believe. Nothing in me, it was starting to wear me out. There was moments, and it's hard to admit, there were moments where it's like, you know, Misty came to me a couple of times and she said, Stephen, did we make the wrong choice? Because I see the pain in his eyes. And she said, did we put him through way too much? I said, no, honey, we prayed. If God said he's going to do it, we've got to do it. I had to look at myself and make really, really serious, difficult questions. Am I doing the right thing? Yes, I am. It doesn't make sense, but I'm doing the right thing. Parents, when you discipline your children in love, you're doing the right thing. When you go to your job and you show up early and you do the right thing, even when it's not expected and you go above and beyond, you're doing the right thing. The Bible says do everything as unto the Lord. Even this word is really scary nowadays because of the connotation, but it even told slaves to honor their master and he would deliver them. Because God sees something about us being humble for him to take us out of the situation that we're in. We have lots of Goliaths facing us all the time in our lives. They're always coming up. These giants are always coming up. But I want to tell you something, and I'm going to end with this. Nobody in the Bible was ever written about when they didn't win their battles. We were talking in some of our studies recently with the group that I, like I said, I oversee. We've been talking about fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit are evidence of things and battles that have been won in your life. And if people don't see fruits in your life, you got to ask yourself, am I even winning any battles or am I even showing up? Because God's way of doing things is not the absence of conflict. It's not the, you know, there's lots of times Paul prayed, said, take these away from me. And God didn't take it away from me because it's not about, God doesn't deliver people from conflict. What he does is he allows you to be an overcomer. You can't be an overcomer if there's something not to overcome. See, Jesus in the New Testament is so anti-victim mentality. He said, you're the head, not the tail, the top and not the bottom, above and not beneath. Over and over, we see scripture and scripture and scripture. So if I could do anything today, I would encourage you that you are an overcomer. But these things in your life that you're battling are not because some God has been mean to you or the devil's just really attacking you and there's all this stuff. Everybody is going through something. But you've got to rise up and realize that you're down for the count. Get up at least by 9 and begin to fight again. Begin to fight for your life. Begin to fight for your heart. Begin to fight for your mind. Begin to fight for your peace. Begin to fight for the fruits of the Spirit to abound. Fight for your family members. Fight for the people in your workplace. And I don't mean fighting in flesh and blood, because the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and rulers of the dark air. Fight in the spirit for them by loving them, by caring about them, by being a peaceful person, by, again, showing fruits of the Spirit. What would this world look like if we all took the picture of Jesus Christ, and I don't mean Christ as being Jesus' last name, I mean the anointed one in his anointing, and actually begin to look like him and produce the fruit of gentleness, of kindness, of long suffering, or peace as the is real nice word for suffering long. What would happen in our lives if we had the courageous attitude of faith to show up in our lives in every moment and just do it, period. Father, I thank you right now for today. God, I thank you that, including myself, that every day, every moment, as we walk with you, as we have this personal relationship, which is the point of this, because a relationship means it's me, you, or them and you on a very personal basis, but that we actually treat it like that and we walk together hand in hand and we begin to allow ourselves to look and have the identity in you, what would happen, God? I thank you for showing us good days, and I thank you that the rain is beginning to pour on the people in this congregation, in this church, that we're not going to be scared by the thunder and lightning, but we're going to be ready for the outpouring of your Spirit, which is the water. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.